Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Thank you. So good to be here. Summer Fitness Challenge. How's it going? Good? Yes? No? Maybe? A little bit of both? If you don't know me, my name is April Colquitt. I am our Wellspring Kids Director here at Wellspring, and I love what I get to do. I love my team. We get to be a part of leading the next generation of young believers and teaching them, and it's so fun to watch them grow and just discovering Jesus for themselves, and we love doing that. Would you do me a favor when you go pick up your kids today? Would you appreciate their leaders? Would you just love on them a little bit whenever I get a chance? I love to just love them and appreciate them, and I would love it if you would help me with that today. They are special, and they choose to be here on Sundays spending time with your kids and teaching them and influencing them. So just show them some love this morning. They're the best. I'm so excited to be here. Our family was not here last week. We were away on vacation, so I could not wait to get up and get here today. Whenever we miss a week, I feel like I've been gone for a month. It's always so weird when we're not here on a Sunday, because this is our life. This is what we do. So we are excited to be here. We were away on vacation down in Gulf Shores, Alabama. If you don't know what Gulf Shores is, it's the beaches of Alabama. Some of you are like, Alabama has beaches? So they do, actually, and they're amazing. And people always ask us why we go all the way to Gulf Shores to go to the beach when we have a beach at our back door. And the reason is because, one, Eric's parents take us. We've been vacationing down there with them for years, and it's kind of our family tradition, but it's also just a really beautiful place to visit. The water there is like this blue-green, beautiful water, and the sand is just this fluffy white sand. It's just so different. So if you ever get a chance to go, you should definitely go to Gulf Shores. It is a little bit of a drive, though. I will tell you it's a drive. It's about 13 or 14 hours one way. Yeah, y'all just went, ooh. I know. But we make it a two-day trip. We have kids, and I don't know if you guys travel with kids a lot. Ours are not terrible travelers, but no matter what, traveling with kids is just draining. It'll just suck you dry. I mean, if you don't travel with kids a lot, let me just give you a little sample of what it sounds like. That is the sound of a road trip with children, okay? Both literally and metaphorically, because they are sucking through their straws in the back seat, like, I'm thirsty. I need to use the bathroom. Can I have a snack? And then they start, I need to plug up my iPad, or my phone is dead. His stuff is everywhere. It's so messy back here. Make him clean it up. He's eating too loud. She doesn't know the words to the song. She's singing the wrong words. It's whatever it is, it's a constant banter in the back seat with kids. And so if you don't know what it's like the constant need of a refill. We're going to talk more about that later this morning. But if it's your first time here at Wellspring, or if you've missed the last few weeks of the Summer Fitness Challenge, I want to catch you up a little bit on what we've been talking about, because for the last 6 weeks, we have been getting fit together as a church. And while we recognize that physical fitness and health is important, we've been learning that our spiritual fitness plays a huge role in how we live our day-to-day life. And so we've been learning some ways that we can become more spiritually fit. And we've had the opportunity to hear from some great staff, team, and leaders. If you've missed any of those messages, I want to encourage you to go back and catch up, because there's some great truth there that I really feel like will help propel you as you are getting more spiritually fit and growing your faith. So go to our website and catch up on whatever you might have missed this summer. Also makes for a great listening on a road trip if you happen to have one coming up. But just to give you a general idea of what this whole series is about, the big, huge idea that we're kind of tackling is this. We reap what we sow, but God makes us grow. Trey talked about this in the very first week of this series, that we reap what we sow, but God makes us grow. God gives us his love and his grace and his forgiveness freely. We don't have to do anything to earn that. All we have to do is believe. And when we do, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life. And the Holy Spirit is responsible for growing us spiritually. He transforms our mind and our heart to be more like Jesus. But there are some things that we can do to make more room for that growth to occur in our life and for him to come in and do the work that he wants to do of transforming us and renewing us. And so we've been learning what some of those things are that will help us create that growth that God wants to do in our life. And that's what this whole thing is about. It's kind of like having a gym membership, like we've been saying. If you have a gym membership, you have to actually go to the gym to get the results you're hoping to see. And so the more time that you spend at the gym exercising and working out and putting in the sweat equity, the better the results you're going to get. Our relationship, our Christian life is based on a relationship with Jesus. And the effort that we put in, like any other relationship, will determine the results that we get out. The more time that you spend with him, getting to know him, practicing what you're learning, the more the results that you're going to see and the stronger your faith is going to be. So that's kind of what we've been tackling and digging into all summer long. And a few weeks ago, Trey taught a message that has really got me thinking a lot. I don't know if you heard him preach this message, but he talked about the value of what we do here on Sunday mornings. And he made this statement. He said, don't skip the warm-up. Don't skip the warm-up. This might have been like week 3 or 4, somewhere in there. So if you missed it, go back and listen, because it's a great message about what we do here on Sundays. And he talked about how when you go to the gym, you don't walk in and go straight to deadlifts and bench press. You need to warm up first. You need to get your body ready for the heavy lifting that you're going to do. Otherwise, you're going to hurt yourself. And everything that we do here on Sundays, from the parking lot to our coffee bar to the kids check-in team and the worship, we just had an incredible time of worship in here. All of those things prepare us for the heavy lifting, the life change that God's about to do in our heart. And so I thought a lot about that, because I hear people say frequently that they cannot wait for Sundays, that they love coming here. Sundays are their favorite day of the week because they get to come to Wellspring. And I do not disagree with that at all. I love coming here. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could do this every day? If you could come here and just worship and be with other people who are like-minded and hear a great message and serve together and encourage each other. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could drop your kids off for an hour for free every day of the week? That would be amazing. It would be a lot more work for my team, but it would be awesome. We would love it. But we hear people say all the time that when they come here on Sundays, there's just something different when they walk in the door. You know, that there's a warmth and they feel better after having been here. People will say, I cannot wait to go to church on Sundays. I need to get my Jesus on. Or maybe they've said that, when they sit in here and there's Sundays where they feel like Trey's message is speaking directly to them, that message was meant for them. Our staff and our leaders, we love hearing those things because it points to what we already know and believe, that God is real and that his spirit is strong up in here. This is strong in here. When we gather together as one body of believers under one roof for one purpose and seeking one thing, Jesus, he's going to show up. And there's something supernatural that happens when we're here. Our walls are torn down a little bit. But at the same time, we feel stronger and more capable, and you feel like you're ready to go out and tackle the week. That's what I love about corporate worship. When we all gather together, there's strength in numbers. We need each other. We need to come here to prioritize that corporate public worship together because we need one another. It's powerful in our life. But there's something else that we need to. We also need time alone with God. We need time alone with God. And that's something that doesn't come so easily to most of us. You know, what we do here publicly together is necessary. It's important. But what you do privately on your own with God is really what's going to take your relationship to a whole nother level with God. It's what's going to grow your faith exponentially. But it doesn't come as easily to us. And the reason that I think that is because spending time alone with God requires a certain level of discipline, doesn't it? It requires a little bit of discipline. Discipline is the decision or the determination required to do the things that we know we're supposed to do, but we don't necessarily want to do, that we're not really want to do. It's the decision or the determination to do the things that we know we're supposed to do, but we don't really want to do. If you have been in church for very long, you've probably heard somebody say that you should spend time alone with God, reading your Bible and praying. You know, but that takes a little bit more effort because it requires some discipline in our life. And discipline feels like a duty, doesn't it? You know, when you know that you're supposed to work out, that you should exercise, that you should get your heart rate up a little bit every day for a certain amount of time, but you don't always do it. You know that you should eat healthy, that you should eat a certain portion of fruits and vegetables every day, and that that number, that amount, should exceed the number of carbs that you get every day. But we're not always good about doing that. You know that you are supposed to save money, that you're supposed to wear sunscreen. You know that you're supposed to go to bed and get 8 hours of sleep at night, but maybe a lot of nights you stay up binge watching your Netflix shows. You know you're supposed to wake up when the alarm goes off, but if you stayed up binge watching Netflix, you probably don't wake up when your alarm goes off. There are things we know we're supposed to do, but we often make excuses and don't do them because we think we can get by just fine without them. TJ talked a little bit about that last week. If you heard his message, he talked about complacency. And I'm doing okay. I'm fine. But the thing about discipline is that it always results in progress. When you develop a discipline, a habit in your life, it will make your life better. And I think there's some disciplines that we can put into our life that actually, once we develop them as a habit, they make our life better to the point that we actually start to enjoy them. You know, if you develop the discipline of going to the gym and you start seeing results, you start getting leaner and stronger and more confident, you start to enjoy going to the gym. And it's not doesn't feel like the duty that it was when you started because you're seeing the results. You actually take great delight in a sweaty workout now. You know, maybe if you start developing the discipline of eating healthy and you feel better, you're not having sugar crashes 3 and 4 times a day, it gets easier for you to eat healthy because you say, I really do feel better. This isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I like this. And you start to adopt that as part of your lifestyle. I know people who run. They are very disciplined runners, and they do it because when they get out there and they run, they feel better, and they work out their stress on the road. It's like when their feet hit the pavement, they just start working out all the issues. And I think it's because when something starts as a discipline, it feels like a duty. You know, but what begins as a duty can become a delight. I believe that. What begins as a duty can become a delight. It can become something that we actually enjoy. If you have been in church for very long, or if you've been a Christ follower for very long, you've probably heard somebody say that you should spend time alone with God. When I was growing up, they always called it a quiet time. You might have heard that before, that you should spend time reading your Bible and praying. But maybe you don't do that very much. Maybe you haven't developed that discipline in your life. And listen, it's not because you don't love God. It's not because you don't love God. It's because it might feel like a duty. The Bible is a confusing book, and it's big, and it can be hard to know where to start and what to read and exactly what you're supposed to do. And so it's kind of overwhelming. And if you haven't had a lot of experience praying, or if you haven't been around church for very long, you maybe don't know how to pray, or you don't know what you're supposed to say or how long you're supposed to pray, and so you're not really sure. And so you don't spend a lot of time with God alone because you don't really know what to do, and so it just feels like a duty, and so you just do nothing. Listen, before I go any further, I want you to know that it is okay. God's love for you, listen to me say this, God's love for you is not dependent on your discipline. We've already said that God gives us freely his love and his grace and his forgiveness, and we don't have to do anything to earn it. We can't do anything to earn it. That is a free gift from God. But when we develop the discipline of spending personal time alone with God, that is what will take our relationship to another level with him. That's what's going to strengthen and grow our faith. And so I want to take a little bit of time and talk about it today, not because you have to earn God's love, not because your discipline will earn you any credit with God, but because it will make your faith better and stronger. And ultimately, it will make your life better because you'll know Jesus so much more intimately. Some of you are like, I don't disagree with that, but I'm just not a very disciplined person. And I get that too. Some people are more naturally disciplined. You maybe feel like you are not good at keeping schedules and routines, and you're not good at working independently and doing things on your own. But here's something else I want you to know. As a child of God, you have the ability to overcome that weakness in your life. You can overcome a lack of self-discipline. We talk a lot here about Paul. He's our guy, Paul, at Wellspring. And Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament, but he was good friends with Timothy. He was actually Timothy's mentor. And so while Paul was away in prison, he wrote letters to Timothy to encourage Timothy to stay strong in his faith because he was depending on Timothy to carry the gospel and to spread the gospel while he was in prison. And so he needed Timothy to stay strong. And so one of the things that he says to him is this. He says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and what? Self-discipline." You can say it with me. Self-discipline. He's saying, Timothy, if you're going to stay strong in your faith and unwavering, you need self-discipline. But we don't have to get that on our own because we have the Holy Spirit in our life who helps us to overcome those weaknesses. If you are weak in the area of discipline, not just in spending time alone with God, but you need discipline in a lot of areas of your life to be the best self that God created you to be. But he can help you overcome that. And so I want to take just a little bit of time this morning to help us learn and understand that when we develop a personal worship time, when we are spending time alone with God, reading his word and talking to him, that is what is going to make us stronger and unwavering in our faith. There's going to be some seasons coming up or things in your life that you're going to need to be strong for. And this is how you do it. This is about what it does in you and for you. The personal discipline of worship is about your relationship and your connection to God. And I just want to help you develop an awareness of it. And we're going to talk over the next few weeks about how you can implement that in your life. And I'm going to give you some practical ways that you can do that. But today, I just want to kind of help you see the value that it can have for you. And the best way that we can do that is by looking at the life of Jesus. All throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus slipped away to be alone with God. He was constantly surrounded by people. But especially in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark's accounts, he gives several examples of some times that he witnessed Jesus getting away to be alone with God by himself. And because Jesus was constantly surrounded with people, everywhere he went, they followed him. It was not easy for him to be alone. That's evident when we read the Gospels and when we read about the life of Jesus, that he would go to the next town and people would follow him there. Sometimes he would say to his disciples, "You guys go on ahead. I'm going to stay here and pray." And then the second that he would get on the road and get going to the next town, somebody would recognize him and the crowds would be following him again. So it wasn't easy. I want to read you about one time that Mark sees Jesus getting away. He says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." He got up and he left the house. Now, basically what he's doing is sneaking out. Jesus is sneaking out just to be alone with God. You have to remember that Jesus is fully human, but he's also fully God. So being fully human, I can see where Jesus needs to get away from the crowd and just have some peace and quiet. But because he was fully God, maybe it's not that he needed that so much as that he just enjoyed, that he just took delight in spending time in the presence of his heavenly Father. I don't know what it was, but I know that Jesus modeled this not just for his disciples, but for us too. And he loved being with people. Jesus had compassion on the crowds. Mark tells later on in the gospel that he saw Jesus one time. He was in a home with people. He was in a home and the people found out where he was and they came in and they came into the home and surrounded him to the point that he couldn't even eat a meal. And the disciples tried to send the people away to push him away. And Jesus said, "No, let him stay." Now, I don't know about you, but as a parent, I can't help but think about how hard it is to get time to be alone. And when it says that Jesus couldn't even eat a meal, I can relate to that. Now, my kids are getting older, but when they were preschoolers especially, I know how hard it is just to sit down and have a moment of peace and eat without being disrupted or somebody crying or breaking up a fight or having to change a diaper or whatever it is. I mean, I have vivid memories of getting alone in a closet or the pantry just to eat a snack. This is my chocolate bar, and you are not allowed to have a bite, you know? Or just to go to the bathroom. They will follow you into the bathroom. You can't even go to the bathroom without being interrupted. And if you lock the door, they will stand and knock on the door. They'll stick their fingers under the door. They'll put their little noses. Mommy. They're going to follow you in there. You cannot get alone. So I cannot imagine how hard it must be for Jesus to move from town to town and everybody knowing where he was and where he was going for him to find a moment to be alone. But as much as he loved people and as busy as he was, he did not let his personal ministry take over his personal worship. He still found ways to slip away and spend time alone with his Father. And because Jesus modeled that, don't you think we should too? Don't you think if Jesus, God's only Son, needs to be with God alone, we probably do too? Because he modeled getting away from being around everybody to being alone with God, I think it's an example to us that around is different than alone. Around is different than alone. Jesus was busy doing God's work, kingdom work. He was healing people and performing miracles and teaching them about God and loving them and showing them the way to live. But he still got away to just simply be with God. I think about this in terms of like going on a date versus going on a group date. If you've ever had a girlfriend or boyfriend or maybe your spouse, it's fun to go out on group dates with your friends, isn't it? And to all go out and have dinner together and hang out and do things. That's fun. But it's not the same as being alone with your person. It is not the same because when you're alone with your person, with your significant other, you can talk to them about things that you don't talk about when you're on a group date. You can connect with that person in ways that you don't connect on a group date. We just got back from vacation, and our kids stayed in Alabama with my in-laws. So we came home alone. And we had a great vacation with our family, and we did so many fun things, and it was all like togetherness, and it was amazing. But now we're alone, and that is really nice. That is really nice. So around is different than alone, isn't it? Being around the things of God is not a substitute for being alone with God. Eric and I have been married for 15 years. We just celebrated our 15th anniversary in May, and we have also been in ministry together for 15 years. And so we have spent a lot of time caring for people and leading volunteer teams and ministering to people and counseling with people, and we love it. And one thing that I've learned is that I love and serve people a lot better when I spend time with God alone too, because that's when he refills me. We have been in ministry for 15 years, and I've grown up in church. I've been in church my whole life, and so I have always known that a personal worship time is something that's important, but it's not really a discipline that I developed in my life until about 10 or 11 years ago. Now, in case you weren't listening, we've been in ministry for 15 years. If you're not good at math, that means that for about 4 or 5 years, I was trying to get by in ministry without a personal discipline, spending time alone with God on a regular basis. And I can tell you that it is not pretty. It is not easy. And we got married and we had our first baby after about 3 years of marriage, and that getting by got a lot harder. It got a lot harder. And I thought that I was loving people. I was really trying. I was really trying to love and serve people well. And I thought that I was loving and serving my church and my family well. But the problem was that I was trying to love and serve from an empty cup. Sounded like this. Because My cup was empty. I wasn't going to God regularly for refills. Now, I would go to church on Sundays and get a little sip of water, and that might last me 2 or 3 days, and sometimes 2 or 3 hours. But the further I got from worship on Sundays, the more dehydrated I became. And I wasn't going back to God regularly for a refill. And so, you know, I thought that I was trying to do good, and I knew that I was supposed to be having a personal worship time with God, but honestly, it just felt like a duty. It felt like something that I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't really have the time or the energy to do it. And then something happened. Eric and I decided we were going to come to Wellspring Church and help start this church and help be a part of what God was doing here. And I knew that my faith was going to have to get a lot stronger, because we were going to be leaving a well-paying job and a house and friends and a life in Texas and moving halfway across the country to Myrtle Beach without a well-paying job, without a house, and with hardly any friends. And so I knew I was going to have to get a lot stronger. It was like somebody had signed me up for a marathon, and I couldn't even run a 5K. I was totally out of shape, and I knew that if I was going to make it, I was going to have to start working on getting spiritually strong, that I was going to have to get spiritually hydrated. And so I started spending a little bit of time every day reading God's word and praying and talking to him. And at first it felt like a duty, because it felt like I was giving up time to do things that I needed to be doing or that I thought I needed to be doing that were important. But what I learned, it didn't take long before I started to notice a marked difference of the time that I was putting in. For one, I started to look forward to a quiet moment to just be alone without any distractions. And then I started to notice that I was a lot less anxious about things, a lot less anxious. The weight of life got easier because I was going to God for a refill. And I noticed that God's voice started to get louder and more recognizable to me. And I started to be able to notice and see the way that God was working around me. I would have a conversation, or I'd see something, or something would come to mind, and I'm like, man, that's exactly what I just read in God's word. That's amazing. It became so real and so alive to me. And that is when, for me, I realized and I learned that what begins as a duty can become a delight. God's word became my great delight because it was refilling me. And I love coming here on Sundays and worshiping. It is fuel for my soul. It starts my week off right. You know what I'm talking about, because you were here experiencing this morning. But it's in those moments, those personal moments with God, when I sit with my Bible open and I just let him pour over me, and I talk to him, and I tell him what's going on, and I spend a little bit of time reading, that he fills me up. When the more time that I spend with God, the fuller my cup is. And then I'm able to pour out to the people around me because my cup is full. If you don't start with a full cup, you've got nothing to pour out. Spending time with God alone is important. The first book that I ever learned to read in the Bible that I really learned to love is the book of Psalms. And if you are not familiar with Psalms, it's a very emotional book, which is probably why I like it. I'm a very emotional person, so I relate well to the book of Psalms. And Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the book of Psalms, and I love it. The whole entire chapter is about a love for God's word. And I want to share with you just a few verses and what the psalmist says. He says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight." See, this psalmist has learned that what begins as a duty can become a delight. I love that he says this: my life constantly hangs in the balance. It's so dramatic. But I know what that feels like, and you probably do too. To know, to feel that feeling of your life constantly hanging in the balance. But the psalmist says, your word, though, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. It's my delight. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but your word, God, your word That is where we run for our refill. And he understands. He's not burdened down by the weight of life. He's not anxious. He's not worried because he knows where to go for a refill. And it's the same place that we need to go. And if his life is constantly hanging in the balance, I'm assuming he's pretty busy. He's got a lot going on. He probably doesn't feel like he has time to sit and spend in God's word. And I know what that's like too. But he's obviously learned that it's worth it because it's a treasure and it's a delight. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but your word. I know maybe I've not given you a lot of practical ways to implement a personal worship time in your life today, but we're going to get there in the next couple of weeks. Today, what I really just want to help you see is the value that a personal worship time can have for you. That when you spend time alone with God, it's an extension of what we do here on Sundays. It's not in place of. You still need to come here and worship publicly with other believers. You need to be surrounded by the body of Christ. And what we do here on Sundays, in the same way, is not meant to be in place of a personal worship time. You need that time because the discipline of getting out your Bible and sitting alone with God and just getting still and listening for his voice is what's going to strengthen and grow your faith. It's the practice of doing it over and over and over, just like getting up and going to the gym. It's that daily discipline and a grind, and it can feel like a duty in the beginning. But I am confident that when you make daily discipline of personal worship a part of your life, that it will become your great delight when you see the results that it has in your life. So here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to just start thinking about when and how you can have a personal worship time. When and how can you make it happen? Think about what's keeping you from doing it right now in this season of life. Is it time? You don't feel like you have time? Is it insecurity? You don't know what to do or how to do it? Is it fear of failing at it? You don't want to start something and then not be able to finish it? Whatever it is, declare it an excuse that you're going to overcome with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, because he has given you the ability to be self-disciplined, and you can do this. You can do it, and it will make a difference in your life. Think about what's coming up that you're going to need to be spiritually strong for. There are some moments. You can't know everything that's going to happen day to day, but human history gives us some examples and some clues as to what's coming. For example, if you have a preteen child, you need to start spending some time in the Word of God, because you are going to need to be spiritually strong. You're going to need multiple refills a day as your child becomes a teenager. Maybe you have a family member who is aging, or a parent that's aging, and you know the responsibility of caring for that parent is going to fall on you. You're going to need some refills. You need to know where to go to be refilled with compassion and patience and wisdom to how to care for that person. Go to God's word and let him start teaching you now and practicing those things now. Maybe you have a job that's not as secure as you'd like it to be. Get strong in the word of God now. Get rooted and start understanding what his voice sounds like to you, so that when the storm blows in, you're ready and that you can stand strong in your faith. Students, if there's any students in the room, oh, students, a time is coming when you are going to have some hard decisions to make about life and about your career and where you're going to school and about relationships. Start now spending time in God's word, alone with him, getting to know him as your Savior and understanding what his voice sounds like, so that when you have those hard decisions to make, you hear him more clearly when the time comes. Don't wait. Maybe you're walking through a difficult season right now, and your cup is empty. Maybe you need a refill. You don't have to wait until next Sunday for a refill. You can get your Jesus on right now. You can get your Jesus on tonight, tomorrow morning, the next day, and the next day. You don't have to wait for Sunday. God is a hydration station. He's always open. You can get a refill anytime you want. open up God's word, spend time alone with him, is when you are spending that time, that discipline of being alone in the presence of your Father, your faith is going to grow exponentially, and you're going to start to see the results. And I believe that it will begin to feel less like a duty and more a delight in your life. So come back next week, because I'm going to give you some helpful tips and some ideas of some ways that you can implement this. But for this week, just start thinking about when and how you're going to make this happen. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the treasure that it is and the gift that you've given us to be able to come to you anytime and learn from you in your presence. Teach us to have a love for your word. I pray that it would become a great delight in our life, and that what begins as a duty would become a delight as we see how you transform us, how we make room for growth in our life. And I pray that we would overcome any weakness that we have, any excuse that we've put on the table, that we would remove it as we depend on your Holy Spirit to transform us. Thank you so much for loving us unconditionally no matter what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.